You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing. We've got a great show midweek style for you. Mark Lawrence joins us as he always does. We're going to run the gauntlet with Mark. We're going to talk some Florida Panther hockey as the Panthers are rolling right now in a five-game win streak. Is tonight a trap? The Edmonton Oilers visit Miami this evening. Mark Lawrence, one of the now 13 season ticket holders in the Miami, Fort Lauderdale area. Used to be one of six. Now I believe he's one of 13. But are the Panthers for real? Can they cash the ticket tonight? We break it down. We talk college basketball with Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. Now, this show is live, so it gives us an opportunity sometimes to give you breaking news, and sometimes it gives us an opportunity to break down a game or a match that's a couple of minutes away from starting, and that's the case today. We've got some Champions League action, and, you know, it's never a bad thing to have Vartanian on the show. I was thinking, you know, it's been a long time since I've had my main man, the real Albert Vartanian, on the program, and Al knows his stuff, so we'll get some picks. We're just about, we're about 40, 45 minutes away from kickoff. I've got some intriguing facts and some trends and some information for today's soccer matches. Al Vartanian joins us in studio. Mark Lawrence, of course, joins us as he does every Wednesday, and we're shaking things up a little bit today. We have somebody who was voted one of the top 100 hottest Maxim models of all time, legendary Instagram model and all that other stuff. And oh yeah, she happened to be the first ever female scout in the NBA. So she's hot and she knows her stuff. She knows the fantasy radio show as well with former Laker Kareem Rush. She was a scout with the Lakers, former cheerleader with the Dallas Cowboys. This chick's done it all. She steps up and joins us. Bonnie Jill Laffin joins us on the program today. All right. So as I said, we got a ton of stuff to get to. We got a ton of picks for you. And of course, the countdown is on, man. Pitchers and catchers have reported. And the first real preseason games are on Friday. As we speak right now, actually, teams are playing the universities and Grand Canyon University, the Antelopes, the Lopes, baby. The only university that you can buy and trade on the stock market. Buy in now. I'm telling you, I've been telling you guys this for years, but that's another story. Not only do we give you winning sports picks, we give you hot stock tips as well. Invest in Grand Canyon University. They're called Lope on the stock exchange, and hop in on Canada Goose. I wouldn't be caught dead wearing a Canada Goose jacket. I wouldn't pay $1,300 for a winter jacket, but I'll invest in a company because there are a lot of stupid people who will. And speaking of stupid, so let's see if I can get through this without pulling a Falcons and choking to death. That's pretty good, huh? All right, yeah, speaking of stupid, so baseball season's upon us. It's great. Great time of the year, man. The crack of the bat, the smell of popcorn and hot dogs and all that other stuff. Double plays, home runs, intentional walks, not anymore. All right, there's been a lot of proposed rule changes to Major League Baseball. They're trying to get with the times. Kids aren't watching baseball anymore, so they want to do like, you know, what everybody else wants to do. Speed the game up. So they have some proposed rule changes. One of them is to actually have like a shot clock for the pitchers. So basically, you know, the pitcher's got 30 seconds, 20 seconds or whatever it is that they can decide on, and you've got to throw the damn ball within that clock or otherwise it's a ball. It's a stupid idea, all right? You know, the instant replay and the way that they institute it is a stupid idea. They have a lot of stupid freaking ideas. You know, smaller strike zone, really? What do we need a smaller strike zone for? It's as stupid as the National Hockey League with smaller goalie equipment. Oh, we want bigger nets. You know what? I don't know. How about you take better freaking shots at the net? All right, but whatever. So turns out that the players' union, in Rob Manfred's words, they've been unsupportive and uncooperative as far as these rule changes because the players know these are stupid rule changes. They're stupid. But there's got to be a little bit of give and take. And of course, maybe Major League Baseball and the owners, they don't really like the World Baseball Classic, but the players like playing in it. So the players had to trade a stupid rule in exchange for the World Baseball Classic, and the stupid rule that's been changed is there will be no more intentional walks. You can intentionally walk somebody if you want to, but now, you know, you just signal it in from the dugout. All right, this is supposedly going to speed up the baseball game. I wonder what the signal is. Is it like Burns on The Simpsons? And since we actually don't have the rights, we're not allowed to show you a picture of the baseball episode of Burns. I don't really know what would happen. You know what the worst thing would happen? We'd get a letter, cease and desist, don't show Mr. Burns again on the program. Somehow, I don't think The Simpsons give a crap if we put a picture up of Mr. Burns. But I think he did something like this. Something like that. Whatever the signal is going to be, it's a dumb idea. One of my favorite players and an analyst of all time, Don Drysdale, may he rest in peace. A real hard ass, Don Drysdale. He said, you know what? I didn't intentionally walk a lot of people, but if they asked me to, I just hit the guy. Why waste three pitches? But the fact of the matter is, crazy stuff can happen on an intentional walk. All right? There are wild pitches. There are times when the batter actually crushes the ball in her center field for a hit. Okay? You're not going to speed anything up. You know, last year there were 932 intentional walks in Major League Baseball. Okay? You know how much time we're going to save by eliminating this on average? 35 freaking seconds a game. 35 seconds a game. You want to speed the game up? You want a stupid idea? How about this? If somebody hits a home run, they got 10 seconds to get around the bases. Otherwise, it doesn't count. You want to speed up the game? And John Gibbons, Toronto Blue Jay manager, he's personally responsible for, like, delaying baseball games, all right? I think Gibby's added on, like, 30 minutes to the national average because of his slow ass walking to the mound all the time. The dude's so hungover. He's sweating out the booze and stuff. He's like, oh, God. Takes him like 10 minutes to get to the damn mound, and he stands there for a couple of minutes. Listen, most Major League Baseball managers are old, right? They're either old or they're boozed up. So let the managers use golf carts. That'll speed the game up. Instead of these managers like moseying on out to the dugout, just put them in a damn golf cart and say, hurry up, Skip, okay? Hurry up. But the fact of the matter is, like three-on-three NHL All-Star games and bigger nets and this and that and all the other crap that they sell us at now, it's unfreaking necessary. Baseball is a beautiful sport the way that it is. If the game is too long, then turn the channel or go home, okay? There's no need to mess up with anything. It is what it is. There's no clock. We don't want any pitch clocks. The instant replay is stupid, and this no intentional walk thing is even freaking stupider. How long until there's no more kickoffs in football? How long until we're just playing with flags? You know, we live in a candy-ass, pansy-ass world, and taking intentional walks out of it won't make anything any better. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We're shaking things up a little bit on the program today. Normally, Mark Lawrence bats leadoff on Wednesdays. And normally, we don't have a hot Maxim model, who is a former NBA scout. Bonnie Jill Laughlin will join us on the program. But forget about her. You want hot? We've got Al Vartanian in studio. And a countdown is on. That's why I brought the laptop in.
All right.
Just in case I need to get any action in on these games, which I will, but we got some Champions League action of Vartanian, and the last time we spoke actually was before the MLS Cup.
That's
and
right.
Great call by you. You said it's going to go to overtime. You said it'll go to overtime, but it wouldn't surprise if you went to penalty kicks.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. So we're expecting winners today of Vartanian. We got some Champ League action. First leg, knockout stage, Juventus in Portugal, taking on FC Porto. Juventus are road favorites here. Plus 120. FC Porto pays plus 280. The total is 2.5, shaded minus 188 to the under. The draw is plus 215. And I got to tell you what, Vartanian, Juventus probably just playing for a draw in this game. They'll be happy with a draw to go back to Italy after this. With a draw in their back pocket, a draw plus 215 looks pretty attractive.
Yeah, realistically, they can go out and win this matchup. Juventus have that capability. I think this is the first time in a long time where all their focus is on the Champions League. They basically have the Serie A wrapped up as they usually do. They're almost 10 points up on Roma. And what they did in the offseason is what they wanted to add on for this Champions League run. They went to Roma, they took their best player. They weakened their opponents in Miralem Pjanic. They went to Napoli, took the best striker in the world away from them in Gonzalo Higuain. So they strengthened so strong for this Champions League run. But one thing to note heading to this matchup, the lineup just came out. Max Allegri, their manager, just sat their best defender for this matchup. And their other defender, Jorginho Chiellini, he's playing with an injury. So, with that said, I see Porto potentially scoring one or two goals, but I still think Juventus have the strength to pull out a draw here.
You know, you can get plus money on betting over 2.5 in this match. Both teams are coming in fine form right now. Yeah. Juventus on a 7-match win streak. Meanwhile, Porto on a 6-match win streak. You mentioned the goals and the defenders being out. Something I noticed here, both teams to score, Al, pays plus 100. Porto have scored a goal in all but one home game this year. They only have 9 clean sheets, yeah. So it's not like there's some, and you know, Portuguese league.
So a lot of people will dismiss that, though. They'll look at the Portuguese league, but Porto are a legit team.
No, they
in the
are.
Last 3 years in the Champions
they're
League.
They're in first place right now, yeah, in the Portuguese
they've
league.
They've beat Chelsea at home and away, and they beat Bayern Munich in the last 3 years in the Champions League.
They smashed Leicester.
Exactly. This is a team that's made for the Champions League because they know they can field weakened sides in the league to win that league.
Yeah.
With Sporting and Benfica kind of tailing off.
Benfica's on their heels, though.
As well as Benfica have been playing, and yes, they did beat Dortmund, Porto is the Champions League team of the Portuguese League. And they have a player in André Silva right now who's in fine form. I think he has 6 goals in his last 10 games, and he's been scoring. He's their top scorer in the Champions League right now.
All right, so what do you think about this? Both teams to score, then. Yeah, how about this as well? Juventus have only been shut out once on the road all year. And they've given up goals in 6 of 9 road games.
I think
we're looking at a 1-1, 2-1. There should be some goals here.
Juventus is thinking in this matchup is let's go back home with a draw, 0-0, 1-1. If they get an away goal and they take it back to Juventus, this tie is pretty much wrapped up. No one's going to go to Juventus Stadium, and beat Juve in the form they are right now. And that's one of the reasons why I have them winning the Champions League because of that.
So you think they win it all?
I think they win it all.
They're plus 800. They're not the favorites.
They're not the favorite. And I think the reason is because you have Real Madrid, you have Bayern Munich still in the competition, PSG just beat Barcelona 4-0. So you have 3 teams who are actually playing better than Juventus. But through the rest of this tournament, between 2 legs in each matchup, I don't see a better team than Juventus.
All right, so what's your pick in this match, Vartanian?
I'm going to go with
people
you.
People that are home while watching us right now that feel like clicking?
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with the draw as well. I'm going to go over the number for goals. But also, if you really want to go after it, I think with Leonardo Bonucci, Juventus' best defender, sitting out, and Chiellini being injured, there's a chance that Porto win this match.
You know what? It's interesting, actually. We could hit 3 things. 3 things, all that are plus money right now. The draw, plus 215. Both teams to score, plus 100. And over 2.5. That's what I'm looking up here. What is the over 2.5 pay? I think it's like plus 125 or so.
You could parlay all 3 of those, really, if it's possible.
Porto. We mentioned Juventus is 8-1 to win it all. Porto, much bigger long shots.
Yeah, with these other teams,
125-1.
Like I said, Barcelona's still in there, even though they probably don't have a chance of coming back from a 4-0 deficit. Real Madrid is in there. They're up 3-1 against Napoli. Bayern Munich just smashed Arsenal 5-1.
Oh, it's plus 170, Vartanian. Plus 170. Hey, listen, we can't post this up. We should add the mid-show plays of the day. But I'm telling you right now, those are 3 plus money picks. We're going to ride it right now. We're going to go with the draw, plus 215. Both teams to score, plus 100. And how about over 2.5 at plus 170?
We
had all 3 of these. Yeah. We're rocking. All right, we also have, we've got Leicester and Sevilla playing here. This is interesting, actually, because Leicester last year, the talk of the soccer world, you know, 5,000-1 odds to win the EPL. They shocked the world. They win the EPL. And here we are now, less than 12 months later, they're on the verge of relegation.
They're a point out of relegation. Realistically, they should be 100,000-1 to win the Champions League.
Yeah, but what's weird, they don't suck in Champions League. It's almost like somehow it's like,
you know,
all right, we're terrible.
Ever since,
but if we can salvage the Champions League somehow.
Nah, it just doesn't make any sense.
They've lost 8 matches in a row.
They haven't won in 20. Well, they won in 2017 with the FA Cup match against a second-tier team. They haven't even scored a goal in 2017 in the league. Jamie Vardy's still not scoring. Reigning champion or reigning Premier League player of the year, Mahrez, isn't scoring. Their defense is old. They lost N'Golo Kanté. I mean, since their last Champions League matchup, it's actually gone even worse. And now it looks like they can be a team who's going to be relegated and probably bounced out of the Champions League after this first leg. I don't see Sevilla not scoring four goals here. I really don't.
Really? Four?
They're basically playing like a championship team.
Yeah, the total is 2.5 here. And you know what? It's interesting with Sevilla. They've won 2 Euro League titles.
They just came off 2 Europa League titles. This is a legit team.
Exactly.
46 goals. Less than Real Madrid and Barcelona. Like, this team is a legit team.
No, they are. And that's what caught my eye as well. They played 16 matches at home, Sevilla, this year. They've only lost twice. So they're 14-2 at home. And the losses to Barcelona and to Juventus.
Yeah,
this is a dangerous team.
It is a very dangerous team. It's not like Leicester City or
Chelsea. They're 25-1 to win it all, Sevilla.
Yeah, it's possible. But I just, like I said, with PSG, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Juventus still in it. I just can't see that happening.
All right. So what do you make of this game right now? So Sevilla's minus 275 on the money line. Pretty pricey. Minus 275. Yeah. Leicester are plus 900 to put it in the terms.
There are people that think Leicester City do have a chance. I don't know what they've been
watching.
The draw
is plus 415, but the total's 2.5.
Yeah.
Total's 2.5, minus 143 to the over. Should be some goals here, right?
Well, there's a chance for Leicester to score, but I just don't see it happening. They haven't scored, like I mentioned, in 2017 in the league. They're losing to teams like Hull City in the Premier League. They're going extra time with Tier 1, Tier 2 English league teams. How are they going to go to Sevilla in Spain in the Champions League, play one of the best European teams in the world, and pull out even a goal? It just doesn't make any sense.
You know what? Before we get you out of here, Vartanian, last night on Morenci Unfiltered, I wish I would have thought about this before so we could have gotten you guys to get the picture up and the video, actually. But Sutton goalkeeper, backup goalkeeper, Wayne Shaw.
Yes.
And we use the term goalkeeper.
Loosely.
Yeah, loosely. The guy's 322 pounds. He's 46 years old, 322 pounds. He's more of a cult hero than...
This is a guy who slept at the ground 3 times a week before the matchup against Arsenal. He's vacuuming the dugout.
Yeah.
He's at the bar at halftime having a drink with the fans. This is the type of player that he is, but
so yeah,
he's a cult
hero in England. And you know, you had a Division 5 team, Sutton. They're D5. So they're playing against Arsenal. It's a big deal.
Actually played pretty well.
Yeah, I'm standing get blown out, actually. Yeah. I know. So, 5,000 seat stadium. That's what's cool about soccer out there. I like that. So you get these lower tier teams playing a big powerhouse. But since he's a big fat guy, there is a sports book out there. They set odds 8-1. Will he eat a pie?
On air.
Yeah, during the game. Will he eat a pie? He saw the odds and he ate the pie. Now he says that he didn't bet on it, but at least he was honest. He said, my friends did. And they said, well, did you know about this? Or he said, yeah. He goes, my friends told me, hey, you know, this sports book set odds that will you eat a pie? And they said, are you going to do it? And he said, yeah, why not, for fun, let's do it.
Did he blame the guy?
And when you see him, he's really showing off. He's like, hey, everybody.
And he comes out, he's just like, he wasn't even on the dugout. He was at the bar, and he came down with a pie and started eating it. And obviously now the FA are investigating it. Sutton asked him to leave. I think the reason they asked him to leave was because they don't have a lot of money. Now the FA will charge them, and it'll take basically everything that they earn from this FA Cup tie.
They said that his fame got to his head, and he went too far.
Yeah.
They said his celebrity's been growing, and it got to his head.
Props
to the sports book, actually, because exactly.
100%.
People are making, oh, it's a big gambling scandal. It's not a big gambling scandal.
It's not at all.
Only a couple of his buddies bet it. And as we talked about it, watch the video from Unfiltered. Me and Cam talked about it. It was actually Sun Bets, a British book. And they had fun with it. They tweeted out after. They said, well, we lost a belly full, but glad that Wayne enjoyed the pie. And they said, we paid out everybody. Now, they're not complaining. They're not like, oh, you told your buddies. Because I tell you, there's a lot of sports books that would have cried about that and said, no, that bet's void. He admitted after that he knew about it. But it was the same thing. Joe Buck, during the Super Bowl, he knew all about all the props, whether he was going to talk about Deflategate or Michael Vick. He knew that people would get paid if he mentioned those words.
Yeah. But the thing is, with Sun Bets, the company, parent company, is the newspaper, The Sun, and they're basically like a tabloid. So they're known for planting things like this. So it was easy for them to do that, and guess who picked up the story first?
Interesting.
The Sun.
Interesting. That's why they don't want an investigation. It's worth the publicity for them.
100%.
We're talking about Sun Bets right now. Me and Cameron, like, we got to open up an account with these guys. They're good guys.
Arsenal just went to Sutton, which was the story. I can't believe that this team is hosting a Premier League team, a former champion, and coming out of the matchup. What's everyone talking about? The Sun headline and Wayne Shaw being investigated by the FA. Yeah.
Vartanian, it's always a pleasure, my man.
Thank you so much.
All right, there's Al Vartanian with us. So to recap, me and Al were in agreement. We're going to go with the draw.
Yes, sir.
In Juventus and Porto. I told you guys about all those plus money picks that we're going to have with that, and Sevilla and Leicester. Leicester, you like a rout.
I like Sevilla. At least 3+. If I don't score 4, I'll be sure.
What about laying a goal and a half?
You could. I don't like it.
All right. So lay the minus 275, or take the over. Take the over 2.5. All right, we'll come back with Mark Lawrence. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Al Vartanian for joining us in studio. It's nice to shake things up, mix things up a little bit, give you guys some live Champions League picks. We got a kickoff in about 20 minutes. They start at 2:45. You know, soccer, they're very militaristic. With the start time, 2:45, they kick off. It's amazing. We told you guys the draw was plus 215. We're talking. I placed it right after. It's plus 200 right now. So somebody's watching and somebody's clicking. But, yeah, we like the draw in the Porto-Juventus match. Both teams to score plus money, and if you're feeling ballsy, go with the over 2.5 at plus 170. I like the over 2.5 in the Leicester Sevilla game. So we're talking soccer, we're talking hockey, we're talking basketball. Let's bring in a man right now that joins us every Wednesday. Playbook.com's Mark Lawrence joins us. Mark, always a pleasure. How you doing?
I'm doing just terrific, Gabe. How you doing?
We're doing great, Mark. Always a pleasure breaking it down with you. So, before we get to some basketball, you and I usually talk basketball, but let's talk some pucks right now. As you are a Florida Panthers season ticket holder, they went on a nice run last year, and right now, one of the hottest teams in the National Hockey League, a 5-game road trip, 5-0 on the road trip, underdogs in every game, and a tough road trip, too, man. Like, you know, it wasn't, we went to Tampa and came back. Like, no, you're on the West Coast, you're going back-to-backs, you go from the West Coast to St. Louis, you beat the St. Louis Blues, five games in a row. Now they return home to play an Edmonton Oilers team that played and lost last night in Tampa. And you know that Johnny Pablo is going to be all over the Panthers, yet it really feels like a big, big trap, doesn't it, Mark?
It does, Gabe. But, you know, I'm a huge Florida Panther fan, as you know, as you mentioned, and they're healthy right now, and they're the team that they were last year, every bit as good as right now, with everybody back in the lineup right now. I didn't like the Gord Gallant firing, obviously, but they're back on track. I think they're zeroed in on making the playoffs, but a tough spot, as you mentioned here, coming home off that 5-game road sweep, first time ever in franchise history. They had gone 5-0 on a road trip, and they're going to catch a pretty salty Edmonton Oiler team here that just literally owns this team. They beat them 12 of the last 15 times they played, 7 straight wins for the Oilers here. Could be a tough spot for the Panthers tonight.
Yeah, Connor McDavid rolls into town, one of the best players in the National Hockey League already. Third youngest player to get to 100 points, actually. That's fast. Third youngest guy in the fastest way of getting to 100 points already. You know, it's interesting, though. It's a bad spot for the Oilers as well. You know, Oilers lost last night. Oilers are running out of gas a little bit right now. And even though stylistically, and you and I have talked about this, Mark, we always know this, man, in football, in basketball, and in hockey, teams, football not so much, but teams that go on long, prolonged road trips and are successful, they always lose that first game back. And Florida's in this spot. But it's just so hard to go against Florida, Mark, only laying 35 cents. They're 8-1-1 in their last 10. They've only given up 4 goals in their last 3 games. There's a lot to like about the Panthers tonight, even though it seems like a trap.
Yeah, there are. This is a classic game, Gabe, where you can make cases for both sides of this contest here. But I've seen Florida, they play much better hockey away from home than they do on their home ice this season here. And it's nice having that top line back in place. Jágr, Barkov, and Huberto. I mean, they're as good as any front line in all of hockey. And they're playing really well together here right now. But bad spots are bad spots. Death knells when teams come home from road trips like this. And I wouldn't be surprised if Florida ends up on the short end of this hockey game tonight.
Well, your database at Playbook is second to none. It's available on your mobile device as well. Go to the Google Store, the Playbook Cube version. But here's a number for the database, Mark. This is the first year they've done this in which the NHL has a bye week for their teams. And they're not even allowed to practice for a couple of days during this bye week. And so far, so there's been 20 teams so far. And I wish I caught up to this earlier, but there's been 20 teams so far coming off the bye, Mark. They're 4-16. 4 wins, 16 losses. Home teams in their first home game back are 2-12 in their first home game back. So no point spreads in hockey. We're talking straight up here. 2-12. The unders, 10-7-3. So then over the next couple of days, there's no one tonight playing, only 3 games. No one tonight playing in this situation. But over the next couple of days, there are the Buffalo Sabres, Columbus Blue Jackets, Dallas Stars, San Jose Sharks, all in play against spots over the next couple of days, Mark.
Yeah, that's really a terrific stat, Gabe, how these teams have performed poorly after this newly initiated bye week, if you will, and it's bearing out. I mean, especially when these teams are at home here. We got a few plays coming up here shortly here, and I know I'll be looking at them. Hopefully, the odds makers doesn't catch up with this as well.
Yeah, and Mark Lawrence is also one of the Covers experts over at Covers.com, and there's a story up over at Covers, and it has a list of all the bye week teams over the next 10 days that are playing the remaining 10 teams that haven't had a bye week yet. So another interesting trend before we get to some college basketball here, Mark, an interesting trend with the NBA returning tomorrow is in the first game back after the All-Star break, 60% to the over. 60% to the over. You figure all teams have been off for 7 days, 8 days or whatever, that maybe they'd be a little bit slow offensively, but it was a pretty significant chunk, too. It was over like 150 games. It was 60% to the over. And interesting, the first week back after the All-Star break, 56% to the over.
Yeah, big numbers there, Gabe, and it looks like these teams are fresh when they come out from the All-Star break. They're ready to play some basketball, get up and down the court, and my goodness, after witnessing that All-Star game, when they put up, 374 total points in that game, getting up and down the court, I think they want to mimic that game as well.
All right, so let's talk some college basketball tonight. This total, well, no, it's 130, so it's not like the NBA All-Star game. Michigan and Rutgers, I'm a Michigan fan. We're still kind of on the bubble, but I think they're going to get in. They've had a nice little run recently. It was a tough loss the other night to Minnesota. Minnesota's a tough place to win at this year. But the fact is, Michigan are not a very good road team. They only have one road win this year, and that was at Indiana last week. They're playing, they just need to win. They don't need to win by 9. Michigan's just trying to pad that win column right now. And even though if you look at the numbers with Rutgers and you look at their win-loss record, a lot of people don't realize it, but Rutgers are getting better, Mark. I know you noticed this, but they're competitive on a nightly basis for the most part, the Scarlet Knights this year.
Yeah, they kind of carry that name and reputation of the football team, but they're still just 2 games under 500 for the season here. People think they're the dregs of the league. Yeah, they are in the cellar with only 2 conference wins this season here, but 13 wins in the season here. They can be sneaky on you, and Michigan here, I think the pressure is squarely on them. Like you said, with 17 wins, they're going to need to win 3 more games somewhere down the road between now and the Big Ten Conference Tournament, I think, to get the invite to the Big Dance.
Yeah, so, and like we said, Beilein's not worried about winning by 9 tonight. He'll take a 4-point win.
Exactly.
I don't love this game, and as a Michigan backer, you guys know I have a pretty good feeling for this team. It would be Rutgers or pass, and maybe slightly into the over at 130, but like I said, Michigan could just grind this out and win a 60-55 style basketball game. A game that you wrote about today, Mark, over at Covers Experts. I like what you call them, the Commies. The Commies and the Vols tonight. Neither team's going to be going to the tournament unless they do something special and go on a run here. But, it's a huge rivalry game nevertheless.
big rivalry game, and when there's double revenge involved in rivalry situations, you have to almost always look to that revenging team, especially when they're the underdog, as will be the case for the Commodores here tonight. Here, I think Tennessee, a mediocre basketball team at best. I know both of these teams are down from additions we've seen before in the past, as is the SEC, I believe, in whole this basketball season here, but I have to look at the double revenge here for Vanderbilt here. You got two teams that are mirroring almost one another in win-loss records here this season here. The points are have to be the play in this contest.
Yeah, you know, a team that's been a covering machine, flying under the radar, actually, the Friars. Providence, ATM, 9-1 against the spread of single-digit dogs, as I learned from Mark Lawrence's database. Ed Cooley, now 53-38-3 against the spread as a dog with the Friars. Friars, 7-1 against the spread with same-season revenge. And a nice situational spot here for Providence, considering that the Creighton Blue Jays have the defending national champion Villanova Wildcats up next.
They do. They're off a big revenge 17-point win. Also is Creighton in this contest here. So the game does set up real nice here for Providence with that 10-point home loss revenge. They are one of the best college underdog teams we've seen this season here right now. We've seen them go into Marquette as an 8-point dog and win the whole game straight up. And I would be stunned if it happens here again tonight.
Mark, the Ducks. The Ducks were a team that I have circled that I think legitimately can cut down the nets. I look forward to your process of elimination. It's actually my favorite playbook of the year. I love your Super Bowl angles, but I love the tournament angles, Mark, and I almost remember all the criteria, but what is it? It's a coach that's been to the Final Four before, a team with a couple of NBA prospects. You got to score more than, 74 points a game and give up less than 72. You got a criteria, so I'm interested. I wanted to sort of have my short list and then see if the teams meet your criteria, but I'm looking forward to the tournament around the corner, and the Ducks are a team that I think legitimately could cut down the nets, Mark.
I agree with you, Gabe. They are, I think, them and UCLA, arguably the two best teams in the Pac-12 this basketball. Arizona, I guess you have to throw them in the mix as well. But whoever wins that Pac-12 tournament, they'll obviously get either a 2 or 3 seed in the tournament. That'll bode well. And I wouldn't be surprised if it is Oregon. They're a really talented basketball team. I just don't like the spot they happen to be in here tonight off a big 28-point revenge win. You got 23-point revenge for Cal, who's played very, very well, 14-2 at home this basketball season here. And Cal has been wonderful in the role of a home underdog here. Oregon has to bring their A game here tonight if they don't want to wish to get tripped up.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the number was 4 earlier in the morning, Mark, but it's dropped right now. The money's starting to come in on the Golden Bears, and similar situation. It's a tricky time of the year, and I think that's why we're seeing a lot of dogs cover, Mark, or at least some dogs cover in certain spots. Because if you're the Ducks, you're thinking about a big picture. You guys went on a deep run last year in the tournament. You know that you're tournament contenders this year. It's about tweaking things, right? Dana Altman could be altering and playing playing with the rotation a little bit. Let me see what this kid can, how's he going to respond if I throw him in this? It's almost like, I hate to say it, but it's almost like a preseason, a final preseason for a lot of these elite teams right now, Mark.
Yeah, it's almost like test runs for these guys, if you will, coming down the stretch here. And what's going to really count, Gabe, is these conference tournaments, because that's where they're going to need to really kick it in gear to win over the conference tournament committee here for seeding. And we know for sure, obviously, Oregon's going to be a top 4 type seed unless the bottom falls out. I don't see that happening here, but they could be in for a little bit of a tough tussle here against the Golden Bears here tonight.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think Cal's a hungrier team coming in tonight. I think the gym's going to be, they're going to be as fired up as they were when the Milo Yiannopoulos kid went there and started the riot a couple of weeks ago. You know, the total of this basketball game earlier in the morning I saw was 130. It's up to 131 right now. You mentioned the earlier matchup, 86-63 earlier this year, so 149 points. This total feels a little bit low. I know that Cal isn't a juggernaut offensively, but nevertheless, I'm looking at the Ducks' numbers, Mark. 17 of the Ducks' last 18 games have seen 130 points or higher scored. I mean, it's a low number for a Duck game.
It is. It's not like these two teams are really, really strapped with defense here. Oregon will outscore you. I don't know if they're defensively staunch. Good basketball team here. California likes to get up and down the court, put the points up there as well. I agree with you. I think this total of 130 is too low in this contest.
And we'll wrap it up, Mark. We've got about 2 minutes here. But here's a team that I haven't bet on a lot this year. But I took notice when they massacred Pitt in the fashion that they did. And they played as well as they did without their point guard. And throughout the year, Louisville, it seems like every time you hit refresh on the Louisville team page, somebody's suspended, team violation, this kid's injured, nothing major, but Pitino's like had to manage a lot of things. Yet here they are right now, the fourth ranked team in the country, and to me a team is starting to make my short list as well, Mark, of a freaking dangerous team come tournament time.
Yeah, they're the type of team you don't want to play in the tournaments. There's no question about that, Gabe. Rick Pitino, obviously tournament tested. His recruits are as good as any in the country here. Number one team in the country in rebounding margin they're going to have to go up against tonight, though. That's North Carolina. They can clean the glass. So Louisville's going to have to play some pretty good defense here tonight. I do like Louisville's chances. I know they beat North Carolina last year in their only meeting of the season last year, but you're still talking about a Louisville team that's, I think, defensively tenacious. This is a basketball team that I wouldn't be surprised if they do make the Final Four here this basketball season. Here, you look at their RPI ratings. They're number three in the country right now is Louisville. So they are indeed a legitimate Final Four type team.
No, I believe that they are as well. And, you know, it's interesting. It was 5.5 earlier in the day. It's up to 8.5. Like I said, every Louisville game, somebody gets benched or something happens, it seems, before the game. But it's up to 8.5 right now. And North Carolina, they score 86 points a game. Louisville have been lighting it up offensively as of late as well. They've seen their last five games go over the number. It's a $1.54 right now, but I think it goes over, Mark.
Well, North Carolina is that type of team, Gabe, that when you look at when the pairings come in the NCAA tournament, they're the one team that's always seeded 1, 2, 3, or 4 and has the weakest defense of all of them because they believe in offense and little defense that ultimately ends up biting a team like that, and that could well be the case here tonight. All offense, little defense from North Carolina here could well put this game over the total.
Mark Lawrence, you can find him over at playbook.com. He's one of the covers experts as well, and don't forget to sign up for the Coffee Club list in which Mark discusses the hot topics of the day, the big games of the day. Information over at playbook.com. Thanks for the time, Mark.
Hey, Gabe, my pleasure. Enjoy the games. Be good.
All right, there's Mark Lawrence with us. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some Laker basketball, some NBA basketball, trade deadline rapidly approaching. Magic Johnson's in. Rob Pelinka's in. They got a general manager already as well. Bonnie Jill Laughlin will join us, first female scout in the NBA. She's got an interesting story. She joins us next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenz. All right, we've got one more segment left before we get to our plays of the day. We've really run the gauntlet today, man. We've talked about everything. But all week, we've talked a lot of NBA basketball. The trade deadline is rapidly approaching. Let's bring in a woman that knows a thing or two about NBA basketball. In fact, she was the first ever female scout. In the sports world, she's pretty much done it all. Sports fan, went to the University of Texas, Longhorns. Of course, a former cheerleader with the San Francisco 49ers, Golden State Warriors, the Dallas Cowboys, became the first ever female scout. She's worked in fantasy sports radio with Kareem Rush before, a Maxim model, does a lot of great work with PETA, and also worked the Puppy Bowl that we talked about so much a couple of weeks ago. Bonnie Jill Laughlin steps up and joins us. Bonnie, welcome to the program. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. What an intro.
Well, you know what? Quite a resume. I could have went on, but we only have like 8 or 9 minutes. So, there's only so much. And I know that you were at the All-Star game in New Orleans over the weekend. It's been a wild week, hasn't it? As DeMarcus Cousins finds out during the post-game scrum that he's been traded and essentially staying in New Orleans. And then big news with the Lakers, an organization that you know well, that you worked for. Mitch Kupchak gets relieved of his general manager duties. Magic Johnson takes control. And people are wondering, well, who's he going to hire as a general manager? He's got to bring somebody in. And Magic said, I want somebody. I'm thinking outside the box. I don't want to just the normals. You know, we want to be innovative with this. And then they shock everyone by hiring Rob Pelinka, who a lot of people know as being Kobe Bryant's agent. But, you know, agent to James Harden, Eric Gordon. We can go on and on with the players that he represents. But I like both hires. I really do. I like both bold moves that the Lakers have made.
Yes, it's been very exciting. I think a lot of people at first were shocked, and I got a lot of people from Twitter saying, oh, I don't like it. I think they should have waited to the end of the season. Why wait to the end of the season? The Lakers aren't making it to the playoffs. Let's make some moves now. Let's get it done. Let's clean house. And that's what they did, which was, you know, nice to actually see that the Lakers finally made a bold move. And that Jeannie Buss, you know, like she said, you know, Dr. Buss, you know, the late Dr. Buss, our owner, he really would have never wanted something like this to happen. For the Lakers not to make the playoffs over and over again is unacceptable. And so they had to make some changes. And I know it was hard for Jeannie having to let go of her brother and Mitch Kupchak, who'd been there for so many years, but it was time. And the Lakers fans were upset. I mean, it was just, you know, too much negativity in that organization. So for Magic, that was the move that they need to make. Everyone respects Magic in the organization, in the NBA. The fans love him. He's like a mayor in Los Angeles. So he's the best fit. I know people wonder, okay, what's going to happen with him since he's actually a owner for the Dodgers as well. But he has already said he will be in the office every day. His whole focus and priority is the Los Angeles Lakers. And making the move like Rob Pelinka, I think, was amazing. You look at the Warriors, for example, the GM, Bob Myers, who is an agent, and look how well he has done with the Golden State Warriors. So I think it's a great move. I'm excited to see what's next. And, you know, it's going to be exciting this season. Magic's already taken the charter to be with the Lakers, so he is really embracing this, and he's going to get some stuff done.
Yeah, and you know, I lived in Los Angeles before. I lived there actually in the late 80s and the early 90s, and I remember like it was yesterday, Magic announcing to the world that he was HIV positive and he's retiring, and I thought, oh my God, like this is, you know, Magic's going to die, and here he is nearly 30 years later, stronger than ever.
Yes, stronger than ever.
Successful businessman, entrepreneur, and like you said, this is what Jerry Buss would want. I mean, and where I was going with this, like you said, like he's, I don't know if there's anyone more popular actually in LA sports history than Magic Johnson. Like, you know, who is there? I mean, Orel Hershiser's popular, Kirk Gibson with the Dodgers, but not on the same level. And yeah. Kareem was big, and Primetime and the Showtime and all that is big, but Magic was the face of that. You know, just it brings a stability. I like the Pelinka hire. Now, what do you think, though, Bonnie? It's interesting that we find out that the Lakers could have got DeMarcus Cousins, but they didn't want to give up Brandon Ingram as part of the deal. And then, boom, the next day, basically, Kupchak is let go. I wonder if Magic Johnson would have made that deal. And I ask you, would you have made that deal? Because if I'm the Lakers, the long-suffering fans, they need a star. It's supposed to be Showtime. Cousins would have been a perfect freaking fit in this. I don't know how much it would have sent in the playoffs this year, but long-term, life's better if DeMarcus Cousins a Laker. Would you have made that deal if you had held on to Ingram?
Yes, I actually would have made that deal. And this, what I'm being told, my sources are telling me that Jeannie Buss was actually upset that we didn't try. Well, not we, the Lakers didn't go for DeMarcus Cousins. So that was something that they were upset with. And I think that might have been the straw that broke the camel's back, so to say, that they were upset that there wasn't some big move and trying to get DeMarcus Cousins. And so I know Magic would have taken that trade. I would have taken that trade. You can literally build a team around DeMarcus. I mean, I know that he can be a cancer and a coach killer, but I think if he's in the right environment, he can be a fantastic player and really could set well with the Los Angeles Lakers. So I think that was something that really was kind of a vocal point of why all those moves were made yesterday with the Los Angeles Lakers.
One thing with DeMarcus Cousins, though, and, you know, there's been mixed signals in which, no, he's probably going to sign long term with the Pelicans. But his agent said not so fast. And, you know, they were upset because they're losing $29-30 million from the, you know, the CBA and all this with the contract if they're not re-signing with Sacramento. But there's no guarantees. And you know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, buttons are starting to be pushed and he ends up with the Lakers down the road and they don't have to give up players. But seems like Russell Westbrook is that one player that everybody in Los Angeles wants to see in a Lakers jersey, Bonnie.
Yes, he is someone that everyone talks about is Russell Westbrook. You know, the last offseason, you know, it was Durant. Now it's more Westbrook. I, you know, with everything being said and what has happened with Kevin Durant and Westbrook and their little feud, you would think that Westbrook would stay with the Thunder so he's not a hypocrite, but we will see. You know, I know he wants to land in a bigger market, and so that'll be interesting. But I really think that New Orleans has something. I mean, it's not going to change the organization overnight, but they definitely can go for that eighth seed. I know they're about 2.5 games out of the eighth seed, so I really think that can make a difference. And, you know, you got now somewhat you could call maybe the Twin Towers, the future Twin Towers, like Robinson and Duncan. So I'm excited to see how they play and, you know, the rest of the season, and hopefully see who else they build around this team, because we know they have a camaraderie. They both went to Kentucky. So I think there's some good things going to happen in New Orleans.
Lou Williams was traded for the Lakers. And Lou, of course, you know, we're broadcasting out of Toronto right now. Bonnie and Lou played with the Raptors, and you know, it wasn't a secret around town. He didn't hide it that he didn't have one, but he had two girlfriends. And, you know, they used to sit together at the games. And, and, like, you know, he was like the hero. People were like, man, you're the man. And so Lou Williams and his two girlfriends go from L.A. to Houston. I was thinking about Lou, actually. I was thinking, how many players in the NBA have two girlfriends, Bonnie, but don't admit it? At least Lou's open about it, right?
Yeah, I like that. I like that he's very transparent. I didn't know that. I know about him on the court. Know about off the court, but that is interesting. So I guess he's got three people to, you know, they're all going to make their way to Houston now.
What a great spot for Lou Williams, though. Huh? Like, you know, you go to a city, you go to a team that, hey, sure, shoot the three. Shoot as many threes as you want. Like, it's a perfect fit for him.
Right. I actually am, you know, a little upset about him leaving, because I do see him being, he could be the 2017 Sixth Man of the Year. So I, you know, I wish him well. I wish we could have kept him, but I know the Lakers, you know, really now are guaranteed this first, you know, high first round pick. They want to kind of, you know, go looking in the future, not this season. But it would have been nice to keep him.
Bonnie, I wish we had more time. We're already out of time, but I mentioned, you know, you've worked with PETA before, but I saw, when I saw your name in PETA on the internet, I'm thinking, oh no, someone that, like, that loves animals as much isn't wearing fur, but PETA was giving you a thumbs up. They like your work, but you've started your own foundation as well, haven't you?
Yes, it's called Hounds and Heroes. It's my nonprofit that I started in 2010, and we actually help with the military and animals. And our big initiative right now is that we rescue dogs from the shelter, and then we pair them up with wounded warriors that are suffering from PTSD, TBI, or amputees.
Hey, that's great stuff, Bonnie. We'll definitely do it again when you've got the time. I wish we had more time. We got to get out of here. Thanks for the time, Bonnie.
Thank you.
There's Bonnie Jo Laughlin with us. We got to be quick. We'll come back with our plays of the day. All right, we've got six picks and 60 seconds in which to deliver them to you. Let's start off with some Big East action. We got Xavier and the Hall, Seton Hall. Seton Hall were in real tough over the weekend against Villanova. I think they're in a little bit of a better spot here. I like this game to go over 144 points tonight. We got Louisville and North Carolina, two teams that legitimately could cut down the nets when it's all said and done. Interesting matchup we have here. To me, the point spread's too high. All right, it's up to 8.5. I don't know. There's always something shady around Louisville. Guys are always in and out of the lineup and late benchings or injuries, etc. But I got to take the underdog in this game. I also have to go over the number, 154 points. The Tar Heels score 86 points a game. The Louisville Cardinals are on a five-game overrun right now. They've been lighting up the baskets. Providence, man, these guys are 9-1 against the spread of single-digit underdogs this year. Oregon and Cal, man, the total, 131. I like this to go over the number, 17 of the last 18 Ducks. Games have been higher than 130 points, and the Florida Panthers keep winning. Let's take them.